saying that let me open this meeting by saying that, honorable members, we still have a lot to do, but I do appreciate that this committee consists of these people who's always in the meeting, and I do appreciate that we're always having quorum, we're not going up and down. Honorable Musi is not yet recovered. He's out of hospital with a minor op, is still going to go to a major operation. Let's welcome Mpumzi. Mpumzi, after bereavement, he was not right the whole of these two past week. We're hoping that he must recover whilst he's going to be amongst the colleagues and the committee. You'll be recovering, Pums. We know that we have been having consistently bereavement, and the last one, we are aware that you were so traumatized, we even traumatized even our good selves. But as a man, there's a saying that, but they do forget that we are also strong. They will always think that the men, they must not cry, they must not do ABC, which means it's not normal, it's abnormal. Immediately that you are trying to be bold as a man, sometimes these are results of that. But now at least the family is all in. I was trying to say that you always feel when our members are not with us, our staff not with us, because we are one family. Hoping that you finish the meeting last week. I had to rush. I was doing the follow-ups of other things in my life. So can I take this opportunity to thank you, honorable members, that you were so frank in the discussion of the last meeting of SASCOC, because as these members are here to do the oversight, and whoever thinking that is not an oversight, woe unto them, because we cannot have sweetheart questions. We need to ask any other question without fear. So with those words, I'm saying that I've seen that in the media, they've reported correctly so, because the problem of tracksuits we've had, and we are part of communities, especially being a committee of sport. We need to ask questions and without fear. So if we're going to do like that, I cannot not to say we are not presenting South Africans. Today, in front of me, we have this agenda. Debo and the rest, do you think that this is the real agenda of today? Can I put it in front of the committee? Honorable Malatsi.
Thanks, Chair. Just on a side issue, I also think it will be appropriate to thank the acting chairperson when you left the meeting, Chair. It went really well. And secondly, to congratulate Honorable Bergman. He's getting old, so he's leaving the youth league of the committee to join the other section. It's his birthday today, Chair.
Happy birthday, Honorable Bergman. Happy birthday to you. How old are you now? You are 16 years old. Thank you. Thank for that. We are hoping that we'll be having the cake. The big one. Thank you for that. Sometimes we do forget that we're away from our families. Things like that we need to say. Mine is 23rd of November. I don't know whether we'll be still around. I'm a sage.
I'm not going to be 10 days' time.
10 days' time? Okay. Okay. I usually, when I was still in serving SADC, I was always having my birthday whilst we were away. And I was always enjoying, because the team of South Africa, they always sing for me. One other time when in London, we're making a hell of noise in the plane, saying happy birthday to me. I'm suspect I'll be around home now, because I'm no longer part of SADC. Debs, I'm presenting this agenda to the honorable members. Unless you want, before we adopt it, say something. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think just on the item on the oversight report of Free State, it is just not for consideration today. It's just for noting. I have not worked on it. I just received it yesterday. So I still have to go work on it and make it just for members to note. Otherwise, if there's comments that members would want to make on it, I think members would have also received it yesterday. So I'll just leave it there, just for note, Chair. We'll discuss it once it's ready. Thanks.
Thank you, Debo. Honorable members, this is, I'm putting to you the agenda of today. Any proposal of adoption of the agenda? Honorable Malatse?
I propose that we adopt it, Chair. And just in addition, I mean, you know, I was fortunate enough to have a look at it. It doesn't need much work. They've done a lot of work already on the staff. So just well done to the team. It doesn't need much cleaning.
Yes, I did also look at in the email. But if you have members, when we get there, they will be saying something. So, any second of the agenda? Honorable Bev.
Thank you. Good morning. I second it, Honorable Chairperson.
Now, I'm putting point number one, consideration of committee report on SRSA performance in first quarter 2016-2017. Can Tebo take us through? I thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, members and colleagues. Just to say, Chair, that in as far as programming of the committee is concerned, we are in a process of doing the BRRR. So this part of the reports that falls within this 2016-2017 financial year, and also, you know, its importance also is that as and when we look at the BRRR report tomorrow, we'd have to consider some of the recommendations that we are making and would have made previously and that we'll be making. So perhaps this will just give us a fresh memory as and when we deliberate on the BRRR, which will be tomorrow. Hopefully by the end of the day, that report, Chair, of the BRRR will be sent to members to read through. It's quite a lengthy, substantial report, 39 pages. And so it will be very important that we make inputs. However, majority of the staff, or in fact, some major themes would also emerge out of this first quarterly report. This is the quarterly report of the department that they presented on the 12th of September when they came to Parliament to give an account of the financial performance and service delivery performance from the 1st of April 2016 until the 30th of June 2016. And as it is, there are issues that perhaps if one was to go to the first page that have emerged out of the first quarterly report, and that emanates from the National Treasury's review of the departmental performance, both financially and in terms of service delivery within the first quarter. One startling observation, if you look on the first page, sorry that there are no numbering on this particular report, when you look on the first page, the startling observation made by National Treasury is that the department had underspent in its first quarter. They managed to spend only 18.7% of their budget, where they were expected to have spent about 271.5 million. They only were able to spend 192 million rand. And in the same breath, that the expenditure on goods and services was at 19%, which is less than the 25% forecast, which would have equated to about 167 million, 167.9 million. They were only able to spend 31.6 million. So what this signifies, and based on the departmental submissions on the day, that the first quarter is usually not the busiest of them quarters. Most of their programs, you usually hear that they are on the second and third quarter. That's where they're able to meet their targets. But with that as well comes the issue of punitive measures that the department had issued to provinces that did not submit their reports on time due to that issue of non-compliance. The two provinces were punished for 5% of their conditional grant was withheld by National Department. So if you are to look then at program per program, you'd realize that on program two, which is of Active Nation, that issue of provinces not submitting their documentation for receiving conditional grant on time was the result resulted in the department withholding transfers to these provinces, and therefore hence the under expenditure in that particular program and the variance of about 85.7 percent million, which was expected an expected expenditure. Again, on program three, the reduction in the number of athletes included in residential support for sub-elite and sub-elite athletes and delays in receiving invoices from coaches caused variances of that. So the under-expenditure is explained and contained in that. I think of critical importance where there's under-expenditure and underperformance in as far as delivery targets are concerned. Key questions that ought to be asked perhaps by the committee in that regard is the alignment of performance targets of the department vis-a-vis its projected programs. Do the two match? Because to some extent you get those inconsistencies where numbers all of a sudden towards the end of the financial year you see numbers peaking at a very high rate. So is the projected spending, is the projected service delivery performance in line with the performance targets of the department? Is it in line with the ability of the departments to deliver its program, including the capacity that they have to deliver at that particular time. Of course, when you look at sub-program 4, a payment of 15 million was made to Sports Trust and 2.2 million made to the committee inquiry into the death of the former, the late boxer Phindile Moelase, who died in a boxing match. So there is an inquiry going on, and it has cost the department in the first quarter 2.2 million to look at that particular issue. Of significance is the increase in traveling during the first quarter of staff assisting in Program 5 to do monitoring and evaluation of existing projects, such as outdoor and verification of facility count and the MIG and so on. You'll recall that this financial year, there's that allocation of 300 million that National Treasury has made for SRSA to use in conjunction with COCTA, that part of the P component of the MIG, to use and to determine where facilities should be built and so on. That one soft allocation, which is done outside the normal formula of allocation of the MIG, had necessitated that SRSA as well should capacitate the unit. So in that particular first quarter, there would have been a move towards recruitment, but also to ensure that no time is lost in ensuring that there is proper monitoring and oversight of the identified projects. There are about 30 projects that have been identified, each of them costing on average 10 million that would be used to ensure that that 300 million is well spent for those intended projects. So that's the reason behind that. But also of importance to note there, which came out of National Treasury's consolidated report in the first quarter, is that there was a concern raised by National Treasury around the transfers that SRSA makes towards Sports Trust. Now, Sports Trust is an entity. In its accounting statements, SRSA identifies Sports Trust as a non-profit organization which falls in the same category as sports federations. Now, National Treasury wanted a clear specification as to, because it's not a federation. Sports Trust is not a federation, so it cannot receive money for the same conditions under the same conditions as federation. So that is the flag that National Treasury has brought for to the department, and therefore in the oversight work of the committee, that has to be also seen to be followed up to ensure that it's properly executed, and there's clear alienation of the mandate and the work that Sports Trust does versus that of the sports federations. The other issue is the increase in personnel. There are still a number of posts. Of course, even in the first quarter, there are still about there's still a vacancy rate of about 17%, and this again was brought would have been increased by the fact that for this financial year, SRSA had to increase and add to its establishment additional posts, which would have included the beefing of staff or capacitating Program 5 of sports infrastructure. Previously, that used to be headed by a director of facilities. Now, with this increase, there's now a need to employ engineers, to employ infrastructure support at a senior level. So there's now a chief director heading, or that has been established to head this particular program. So it has increased the staff complement of Program 5, and it is expected that they fill those posts, because National Treasury, over and above the allocation of 300 million in the beginning of the year, they made an additional 6 million available for SRSA to increase its capacity to capacitate that particular unit. When you turn to the next page, we look at the performance, service delivery performance of the department in the first quarter. In the very first program, you'd realize that the department would have achieved about one-third of its targets on administration. And in fact, 2 out of 5 targets for program 2 as well. So in essence, the overall performance of the targets for the first quarter, department was able to achieve 50% of those targets in the first quarter. This is not the performance related to the entire year. So if in the first quarter they would have had 16 targets, they were able to achieve 8 of those particular targets. Of course, highlighting also the issue of the post that is not currently filled for the position of the director for school sports. I think they said that an offer has been made to the candidate in that regard. The other program that on program 2, I think of critical importance, just to summarize this particular program 2, is the issue of verification of the targets, which is the task that SRSA is seized with in many instances. So they would plan to have 25,000 learners in a particular program. However, post the verification can only count or account for about 8,766 of those athletes. So in itself shows the underachievement. But also it poses the question of, one, submissions of data by the provinces and the districts poses questions around the credibility of the information that is being submitted by provinces. So in itself then it begs the question as to say, is there any systems that could be put in place? Because if data that is submitted takes longer to verify, if data that is submitted cannot be accepted at a time that is verified, is there any system that can be introduced that would ensure that the verification process does not delay the reporting, but also does not create a system that seems to suggest that there is an underperformance when actually there is performance, or in fact it does reflect an underperformance by the department. So what are the systems that could be introduced that would speedily resolve this particular program? Of main importance of non-delivery, not only is the numbers of participants in school sports tournaments, but it's the number of schools, hubs, and clubs that have been provided with that were not provided with the equipment. So that number had dropped in that particular quarter. And the number of people actively participating in organized recreation events. So these two, which is where the service delivery, the heart of service delivery of program 2 is concerned, are the ones that have not been achieved. Equipment, delivery of equipment, and the number of participants in the events. The non-delivery was also explained that it's because of provinces not being able to comply on time with the reporting mechanism, but also that reports that have been received were not compliant with the reporting frameworks that SRSA has set. And so they could not actually claim performance that has been submitted without doing their own checks and balances. On program 3, you'll find that there were 5 targets to be achieved and 3 were achieved. So it shows 60% service delivery achievement. Of course, in this instance, when you look at that particular program, SAIDS did not get their grant in the first quarter. So it's part of that particular mandate. You'll recall even last week when DG was here, the department was here, it was indicated that that chunk would be transferred, or they were busy preparing for its transfer. Again, it is because of non-compliance with certain requirements of documentation required by the department at a time before they could submit or grant allocate the funds. SASCOC, you'll recall, even the previous time, the fourth quarterly report had indicated that their transfer was not done, and the concern was that athletes were going to the Olympic Games, yet the transfer has not been done. Of course, in the first quarter then, SASCOC has submitted this memorandum of understanding and progress report in the first quarter. And therefore, that is an improvement, because usually, if it took until the fourth quarter for them to get their grant in the previous year, and this time around, the first quarter they were able to submit, it indicates a move of towards a positive side, that SASCOC is becoming compliant with the requirements of SRSA. The other issue that is of importance there, perhaps concerning SAIDS on program two, on program three, is the issue that was raised as to the laboratory which has been closed. Because if you are to look, when we look at the annual reports and BRRR tomorrow, you'll realize that the closure of the laboratory itself had impacted negatively on the performance of SAIDS when it comes to their program on doping control and drug testing, particularly where it concerns the number of tests that they have to conduct, but also the financial, the expenses that are incurred as a result of that. Safe to say that in the first quarter, it is indicated that the laboratory is now operational, so there is no need now of sending the results to Qatar, as it were the case last year. There is no need now of SAIDS to reduce their performance indicators and to underperform. But because we do not get their quarterly performance in this particular report, it will be important that as we do follow-ups with the department as well, we specify on those requirements so that we see how they are improving with regard to the action plans that they have to implement. So this issue of drug testing and sending results abroad had affected their performance. And therefore, that's why it was important in the first quarter that SRSA allocates them funds, although it was delayed because of their non-compliance. But they had also applied, SAIDS had also applied for lottery money to purchase testing equipment that is in compliance with the WADA regulation, and only 2 million from its budget had been allocated by SRSA. And of course, safe to say that the lab has regained a large percentage of accreditation from WADA. So things will change as and when we move on. Moving to program four of sport support. This target in the first quarter, it was exceeded by 100%, because SRSA had supported both the Sports Trust and Netball during the first quarter. So of the number of targets that they had, they were able to achieve all those particular targets in that particular quarter. And obviously trying to assist some smaller federation to comply, at least by assisting, by delegating staff and assisting with at least 50% of the work. On Program 5, Sports Infrastructure Support, what is of importance there is what SRSA had indicated regarding the establishment of the program management unit, particularly where it concerns the monitoring of the usage of the MIG by the municipalities. What is key is that the Pelonoha joint venture is the one that has been appointed as the project management unit to ensure that the spending that is allocated to municipalities, not only is it allocated without necessary follow-ups and without proper checks and balances, but this unit as well had excluded, you know, the participation of the sector and the role players, which would include SRSA. So in the current joint venture, I think that's why you see an increase of traveling that SRSA indicated, that at least they're able to now work jointly with them to do the monitoring with the department. So that is the report of SRSA in that regard when it was presented. During that particular meeting of September the 12th, members had raised a number of concerns regarding that particular report. So we've tried to capture the essence and the spirit of those particular concerns. And without necessarily exhausting them, and perhaps this is where members would then zoom in. However, I would still say, because we're dealing with BRRR tomorrow, perhaps some of this, in fact, matters, we can defer them to, that's just my proposal, but for purposes of this report, we ought to make those observations, and we can still carry them tomorrow when we do the BRRR to ensure that we get a clearer response, because this report, in essence, usually does not receive the response of the Treasury, but it's the BRRR and your budget vote that will get the proper response of Treasury of a number of concerns that are being raised. Nevertheless, it is still important to raise those concerns here, because they will carry on when we do the annual report as well. So some of the concerns that members had raised, of course, have to do with the underspending in the first quarter. And I think in line with that was the underspending versus the service delivery performance, because you'd see also in the annual report, you find a department that is able to spend 99.9% of its budget but achieve 79.7% of its targets. So that variance of performance versus service delivery is also of serious concern, because therefore it speaks to planning and alignment of plans with the budget allocated. Again, the issue of the vacancies, 17% vacancy rate, still too high. I think Treasury allows for about 8% vacancy rate. So when you still have 17, in fact, it's 5% of vacancy rate that the department can work with. So if you still have 17%, it's still a high vacancy rate. So serious action plans, when you do recommendations, should be put in place to ensure that there's a serious drive of plans, of recruitment that department can undertake. Notwithstanding, again, this year's moratorium by National Treasury to freeze all posts that are not critical and only fill those critical posts. So you'll still find that of the 17% critical posts, a large portion of them are not so critical. Then still maintaining the high vacancy rate. So, but that's an issue that should be flagged as well. SRSA did not achieve any of its targets on program one. In fact, in all programs, there was an underachievement except in program four of sports support. Operational and financial impact of the new format of four instead of one event for national championships. Of course, we're highlighting this issue because it was raised as a concern. I think it's at that meeting where the DG had raised a proposal to say they are looking at reviewing the format of the national championships to, because the current format had become costly, of hosting three national championships per annum. So they will look into that. I think of importance is a follow-up of what is the new proposed structure and how do we move forward from that. Because some provinces, of course, as an observation, still struggled with facility count. Some provinces, two provinces, transfers to provinces were withheld as a result of non-compliance. This is what we make as an observation. I think there's a typo error there. It's supposed to be F. Where there's F, it's supposed to be G. And when you look at number G, the low target set by SRSA for Program 2 of Active Nation could be of a department's inability to rely on delivery partners at provincial and district level. These are the observations that members made during the meeting, and in fact, concerns that were raised at the time. And concern number G, which is supposed to be H, the committee's concern is supported by the department's reporting of challenges experienced with indicators of Program 2, in that their achievement was dependent on provinces and not all reports were received on time. However, SRSA ascribed exceeding the target of learners participating in school sport tournaments at district level to a growing interest in schools. You'll recall that in the annual reports of the department, the annual performance plans, department indicated that ideally they would want to reach up to 6,000 schools. That's the target. But that target has had to be revised to 3,000 schools because the current performance of the department is sitting at about 700 schools. So to get to 3,000 schools is still a long distance. So you'd certainly have an underperformance of delivery of equipment to schools if that target still remains. And I think they alluded to the fact that that target they had wished to change, but Treasury and the Presidency, the Department on Monitoring and Evaluation, had insisted that that target should remain and the department should strive to reach as much schools as possible. Of course, even the 3,000 or the 6,000 schools still does not cover, say, 50% of the schools. When you look that the broader public education sector has about 24,000 schools. With the current budget, you are only about to reach about 700 schools. Your target is 3,000, which has been revised down from 6,000 to. So you'd always have this particular program, problem of underachievement in that program too. But second to that, as alluded, is the non-compliance of supporting documentation for evidence that is required, which is always the case that until SRSA satisfies itself with the evidence provided, they cannot claim the targets that have been achieved. Of course, it was noted that there were high costs in relation to SAIDs as a result of the closure of the lab in Bloemfontein. And so that in itself brought about increased costs, which came as a result of currency exchange rate and the fluctuations thereof. And courier costs to Dubai in that regard. The other observation made was that while a large number of component of department budget was transferred to federation, it was important that all problems of federations should be resolved in terms of reporting and standardization of information required by the eminent persons group. I think this claim members made in observation that the department does give federations money. Of course, notwithstanding that some of the funds that are given to federations are not sufficient to cover whatever broad landscape that they have to cover. But in as far as them having to comply with the transformation scorecard as monitored by the EPG. I think it's a feeling of, or an observation of the members, that federations can then be able to meet the targets as set. Again, of course, this issue did not come, but because we are bringing it as a result of the report by Treasury, that the transfers to sports trust which have been made or are earmarked for sports federations should be clearly delineated and differentiated from transfers to sports federations, such that it's in compliance with the National Treasury regulations. And as always, we as staff and want to anticipate recommendations and not necessarily put them as a cast in stone. We have brought a few recommendations that for members to consider in this particular report. The first is to prioritize filling of strategically crucial posts in Program 5. The second is about encouraging cooperation of all role players in effecting and implementing the facility audit, because some provinces have challenges. The third recommendation is for the department to avoid underspending in the first quarter. Treasury does state that performance delivery expectations in the first quarter are at 25% of your annual targets. So if you have 100 targets, you are expected at least to have achieved 25 of those in the first quarter. And achieving 19 is not in line with that particular regulation. And the fourth one is to encourage speedy conclusion of the revised plan of the National School Sport Championship in order to avoid overspending. Of course, this is in line with the proposal that should come to the committee regarding the revised model of National School Sport Championship. I think the DG indicated last week that they are intending to revise the entire school sport system. And so it will speak to the delivery of school of equipment, targeted schools. It will speak to the national championships, whether they should still be continuing on an annual basis or by annual basis or on an Olympic cycle, whichever way that they may choose. So this is why then we have this recommendation here for this particular quarter, because that particular system should be done if it has to be during this financial year, so that it's revised for the future. Chair, this is the report as prepared, and the first quarterly report as prepared by the support team for members to consider and deliberate upon. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dirk. So, honorable members, I'm suspecting those who were present on last week, they will add or they will say something about this report. It's a very detailed report. I'm giving you, honorable members, to add in the report, to say something, to recommend. Let me take hands. Honorable Manana, Honorable Malatsi, on that order. Honorable Rajkom.
Thank you, Chair. As I see, it's a detailed report, Chair, but I'm looking at these transfer funds to the Sports Trust. I do understand that the Sports Trust, it's not the federation, but when I look at what the federation is supposed to do in some of the provinces or in some of the rural areas, the federation is not doing what they are supposed to do. But the sports trust does assist, because even at schools, in some of the schools who are participating in schools, sports trust does assist really. Because if maybe they can just cut off the funds that they are transferring to sports trust, we know it's a non-governmental organization, but it does assist to some of the school by buying the school sporting kits. I cannot say, I'm talking about something that I've seen what sports trust is doing, especially on the rural areas, even in the developing of the sports, the community in sports. And another thing, the high volume of travel, the travel or by this oversight team. I think when they travel to those provinces for the MNE, they must know what are they traveling for. Because if you look at the, I'm looking at the in the consent for the portfolio committee, that some of the provinces still struggle with the facility count. The SRSA has a say of maybe advising the provinces that they must use the GIS for the facility count, because it's going to be easy for those provinces. Unlike the SRSA goes there and say, or and telling us that some of the provinces are still struggling. They can't struggle if they've got the GIS. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Manana. Honorable Malatsi.
Thanks, Chair. Honorable Manana has actually covered the two topics I wanted to address, but my slight difference is on particularly when you compare the issue highlighted about traveling, but also when you look at provinces being highlighted as the lack of, you know, their lack of response in submitting documents that affects that. So one then starts saying, I mean, is this traveling for monitoring evaluation then filling in a gap and making a difference? Because it doesn't correlate. You know, there is the lack of responses from province, there is an increase in terms of traveling. What is this traveling being done, and what is the outcome of that? Is it a tick box ticking exercise? Because one would have presumed that, you know, having this team making these visits to provinces, there will be an uptake in the nature of responses that come. But the other issue with the sports trust, and Deboha, I'll seek your guidance on this, is whether it should be, because it's a recurring thing, whether it should be in the recommendations, either along the lines of, you know, the because Treasury has asked for reasons, you know, as to why this funding is supported for sports trust, which is not a federation, but, you know, its funding is among federations, whether there is a way we can look at addressing the lack of clarity there with the issue of sports trust falling under funding for federations, or, you know, as an additional entity, because it does also get lots of funding from, you know, the banks and the private sector, and they do an incredible job. But I think there's a technical issue here in terms of its classification, in terms of how it gets government funding. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable.
Yeah, well, I'm covered, because I think we can't just leave it, this one of sports trust. We might have to engage the department, because my take is that if they can't satisfactorily explain to the treasurer, it will become a problem going forward. It might be something that the Auditor General also picks up and raises as a problem. So I agree with my colleagues that there is a need that we should highlight that, either as a recommendation And then we must not, because I mean, Sports Trust does a good work. But the point that they are making there, we can't just not ensure that we correct it. So my take is that we let's raise it there, but we should understand that this is still first quarter. So my take is that when we next meet with the department, we might have to raise it so that we get the explanation from the department, because the problem that I have is when it is written in a documented that they can't explain what is the money used for. It's a serious statement if it's written here, yeah, that the department can't explain what is that money for. So it's a serious matter for me, and that is why I think we might have to take it forward. But with in terms of targets, I mean, we must just push them to put targets, quarterly, that they'll be in a position to can meet. But normally, these things of not meeting, it does happen, because over time you find that they'll say quarter two or quarter three, they shall have met them. But of serious concern is this one of Sports Trust.
Thank you, honorables. My take, I'm supporting, because the majority of us, we know how Sports Trust is doing more work to assist, especially the rural communities, on even on multi-purpose grounds, which IMIG is not doing well. But I'm supporting that we can even write and ask explanation if we cannot meet a department, write something on behalf of the committee for explanation of this. But also, Program 5, I wanted to check with the honorable members. We took an oversight, and when we get to Limpopo, we discovered that there are equipments who are just sitting for years in some of these departments, not doing anything. What do we think that a department can do without going and visit the areas, let alone that it's high volume of travel? But we have an experience as this committee that if you sit here as this committee not to go and do your oversight, we'll get some things like that, that we'll get equipment which is staying in some departments or in some offices for years, but we'll be saying that we've delivered APC. So I wanted to check what exactly we want the department to do, because oversight is it's a practice to go and see. What do you think that it can eliminate maybe the volume of traveling? But the problem is that recently we went to a Free State and we discovered that they were saying that they've done APC, and when we get there, you have seen that those things that they've built, they are not worth to be 2 million or not even finished. So I'm putting myself to the department that if as a committee we're having much money, we'll be traveling so much to go and do the oversight. But I don't know whether the oversight by the department will look at against oversight amongst ourselves. As we're sitting here, we want more money to do oversight, because these people, they write things on papers saying they are there, but when you get there, there's nothing like that. So I'm saying, I want members that we must open a discussion again according to Program 5. Honorable Manana.
Thanks, Chair. I'm also concerned about Program 5 because if they just talk about the high volume of travel by those teams, they must just, maybe they must give us even the breakdown. How much do they budget for this travel team? Which provinces? Because if we go for oversight, although we don't cover all the provinces and we don't cover all the municipalities in the provinces, but they must do the breakdown of how much do they spend in this oversight, because the high volume, I don't know what are they talking about. It's silent. They're not talking. Maybe they are spending 2 million in this travel, because they're talking about high. It's something that is high. That means they've got so much budget, they keep on traveling, but when you go there are outstanding issues that they've been, maybe the department has spent on that provinces. They must just give us the amount. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Manana.
Thanks, Chair. I think in addition to Honorable Manana's comment is perhaps because the other issue that is coming along is whether these provincial sports academies getting used fully, you know, and the visit to Limpopo was one such example wherein, you know, by a stroke of luck of us doing our job, we found out what was happening. But I think we need to move towards an indication where we get regular updates on what are the provincial sports academies doing? What is the level of use in terms of, you know, what is happening there? Because there is also another aspect to it, which is, you know, during some of recess, you know, we can do individual oversights to these facilities to see if they are being used. But we need to measure that against something rather than dealing with it once in a year when we are told that, you know, they are working. So if we can have a periodic indication of, you know, the non-provincial academies, you know, are working, this is how they are fully fitted, they supported this number of athletes, so that during recess, one find themselves in Limpopo or Gauteng, they can actually go there and see if these are being used.
Thank you, Honorable Members. I'm suspecting that's it.
A small thing, Chair, but quite critical, because Program 5 deals with MEEC as well, the 300. I think we should raise it, because you all know that we've been saying money must be transferred to the department, all of it, you know, the MEEC fund. So, you know, the Treasury has put the test to the department whether the 300 projects are going to be completed on time. Because that 300 million, it means those 30 projects must be completed within a year. So we said we are going to track that. Because that is going to be a challenge for us if we are still going to want to argue that all the money should be transferred to the department, whereas the department can't ensure that it implements the 30 projects, you know, on time. So I'm just raising it because it is critical, given that we'll be making the same recommendation on the ERRR, because I saw the response from Treasury. They are saying because of our insistence, now they came with a compromise position of 300. But now if it is not going to be spent on time, it means our argument will be finished. So that is why I'm raising it, and I think it is important that we should raise it, because last time, in terms of the annual report, I raised it that we'll be tracking those 30 projects, that they are completed on time, and the 6 million that they've been given to increased capacity that they've employed all of those people. Yeah, I see. So over time, over the medium, it's about 24 or so. So I mean, it's a serious challenge for us. I'm just raising it so that we must not forget that we have put ourselves on the serious test, and the department should appreciate that as well.
Thank you, Honorable Alohom. The DG responded on this, saying that they finished the planning of those 30 projects, if you still remember in the briefing. But as we are saying, you know, one other thing that is always worrying me, the treasurer doesn't say anything about the MIG, which is not, has been not used by these municipalities. And there was nothing ever done that reported to us as a committee that since these years that MIG was not used and not followed the PMFA. I don't want to politicize. They've been not doing anything about that. I'm keen to say that they've been not doing anything, but as we're sitting here today, there are those who are charged to not follow the PMFA. So what does that mean? What does that mean, honorable members? We are the first committee to have an example. When we were arguing about the MIG not being used, we've been told that two provinces has been using a MIG accordingly. But they were saying that if Free State has been not accounting, and we asked Treasury, when Treasury was here, when COPTA was here, when Department, we've asked, what happened? What have you done about those things? We are an example of a committee that we went to Free State, that reality did tell us that IMIC was used on sanitation, on water, on whatever, but never ever heard the treasurer saying that they've done APC against the people that they didn't follow EPMFA. So I'm saying, with me, it's always going to be a very sore point, this thing of IMIC. Instead of facing the problem of MIG, we have agreed that you cannot reject this 300 million. But in reality, why are they not want to give the full amount to each department? Because as we are going every now and then doing a constituency of the oversight, we've seen that IMIC is just a dumping a fee to do other things. Sometimes these things raise emotions to me because our people are suffering on the ground, and there comes now even this sports trust that you are thinking that as this committee we rely to them to assist to close the gap of the MIG, which is not used for infrastructure in the rural areas. But let's wait and see. But they've compromised us, but we've agreed, saying that we're thinking that we're not happy about this thing, but we cannot reject money that we have been given instead of the given the full amount of 15%, with some of us still remaining a sore point, this thing of IMIC. And as we argue it even to themselves, they've promised to come back to us when we're saying that we are the first time to come and present, and you are saying that you are not happy because they were supposed to go and look at our presentation as a committee who's doing oversight. But until today, they were thinking that you are fine because we're such a department, we're not supporting you, but because we cannot reject money that were given, and maybe by this time the state of economic and whatever we can take it, but I'm still maintaining that that this money has been not doing what it's supposed to do. Honorable Malaza, Honorable Manana, and then content advice, Honorable Muteka. I've seen content advice is raising his hand on that order.
Thanks, Chair. Maybe in light of your point, perhaps a suggestion would then be, and Teboho can clarify how we can best do this, to either through a written letter to Treasury to give us an indication of which, you know, of which municipalities have basically not spent their MIG funding over a particular period, and we can measure to ourselves where are the areas, or whether it's Treasury or COCTA or whichever that is, so that we also know, because there are several spheres of government that are linked to this before it ultimately even goes to the specific municipality. Remember last time when we dealt, I think it was apparent that in Mpumalanga the premier had indicated that no MIG for sports and recreation stuff. So some of this come from provincial government and it trickled down to municipalities. But I think the real issue is we want to know that from the Treasury's perspective, what recourse is there? Because sports is suffering because there is no investment, but you still have violations of the PFMA here. And the other issue is with regard to the 300 million for this guinea pig project of MIG, I think what will also be useful for us as the committee is to have a sense of where are those projects and what is the value of those 30 projects, so that, again, we don't do oversight at things when they are completed, but we are able to track through the beginning and throughout. Because often the disadvantage we are at is we come right at the end of things, and sometimes we can't influence corrective action during the process when things are not done the way they should be done. Because at the end of the day, as the committee, we pushed hard for that. And if we don't conduct further robust oversight on this, we'll also be letting ourselves down. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Manon.
Thanks, Chair. Another, in addition, Chairperson, on what you have raised, is that I just want to find out the National Treasurer, what made him to keep on transferring money to each of the municipality, if those municipalities, they did not even account. They took the money to water and sanitation, and the next year he transferred money again. And I'm looking the program 5 as well, when they talk about this monitoring and evaluation, the verification of the MIG site. Only the MIG site. There is something I don't know. Unfortunately, Teboho can't maybe explain to us. Maybe we can even ask to the department that they just do the verification of the site. They don't even do the verification of the infrastructure that has been built by the municipalities. Thank you.
Honorable
Manana,
Honorable
Thanks, Big Fred. Good morning, everyone. I'll start with this one of Program 5. You know, Chair, we have seen horrible things. And I don't know this monitoring evaluation, why are they doing it? So I think the question there should be, let them show us a list of those infrastructure they've visited and they've evaluated and all that, so that we can know even if they are including those that we have seen. because we have seen areas where the mine was just dumped. Nothing used. And number two, I'll make an input on the Dedi project thing. I think as portfolio committee, we must also not only demand that MIG must go to the department without making the department account to the 300 million, the little piece they have given them. So, I'm supporting what others have already said before me. Let us know which projects are they, and then where are they, how far are they so far, so that when we come again make noise about MIG thing, we know already the little bit they've given us. We can account to it, because you cannot cry for billions, whereas you can't account to millions. So let us make sure that the department accounts to this 300 million, and then we show off our story. Then when we present our story to the Treasury, at least you know, with the one you gave me, here's the work I've done with it. So that will be a very pure accountability from our side. I think we must do that. We must know all these projects and when they're going to finish them. So that when they receive another one, we know where to go. And this issue of MIG, I heard you say, Jefferson saying, let be not politicized. We are politicians. You don't have to fear to politicize anything. We are politicians. This MIG problem, we have been making noise about it, talking about it on all that. And one day in our meetings, I've said, we are going to take it up. We are going to make a launch my cases about it. And then if the committee is not going to do that, some of us will have to do it through our political parties and all that. Because really, from the beginning, these people have been given money, not thousands, millions, to look after sports things. But it is not happening. They are doing their own things. But year by year, they are receiving the money. So, if they can account, the Treasury must tell us. You must write a letter to the Treasury to say, we want to know from the beginning, when the MIG allocation starts, who accounts to it and who didn't account to it and what happened? Because you are right. We can't punish people who have violated PFA thing, and also, but at the same time, and then we make others just to go like that. We can't. Same law for all of us. No one is above it. Let us do it that way. I think my proposal is that the committee write a letter, especially to the Treasury. We can't go through those premiers and all that. That else we're going to confuse ourselves. We know where the money is coming from. Then we write to the Treasury, and then the Treasury will guide us from there. Thank you very much.
Honorable members of been shown, let me see, it's 23rd November.
And that is on the 26th of October.
Can I have that? Yeah. Honourable members, I've seen that Wednesday, 23rd November, we've asked Salka Copter, FFC Treasurer on MIG, including SRSA. So I was asking that Otebo, they will be responding that when is our debate on B333s, because some of the things we want to debate
with information. If they are coming after we've debated, we'll be going to have a problem. But this is not the end of the world. I was just wanting to check and taking the consideration of the proposal by the members. Because reality is that our program are very packed, but if some other things, draft report, some other things are being explained before we go and stand in that podium, even if it's written letters, in order that we must debate with information. There are those who said we'll be writing a letter to you every week. Do you still remember that? Somebody, when we're asking questions, said, oh, seemingly I must write a letter to you every week. So I'm saying, let's be told, and I've seen you have raised your hand, you'll assist in some other things, and check on what we're asking, whether can we wait for UCOPTA and the treasurer to come on the 23rd November before, if it's before our debates, because I don't want that we must go and debate without information. We need to be informed in order that we must have a sense of what we're doing with information. Debs?
Thank you very much, Chair. Just to start on the last part, I think we can still see how we will we'll anticipate the program, but usually the adoption of the BRRR reports in the past 3 years I've been here, it takes place on the last week of the term. So it's usually coincide with that week of the oversight. That's why you may find in many instances the oversight is cut short for the business of Parliament to continue and finish in that period. So, but we will try to, if anything, see if we cannot anticipate this meeting to be earlier than the set dates. But to respond, Chair, particularly in relation to the report about a number of issues that have been raised. Some, yes, we'll include as part of the observation, and particularly this issue of the sports trust, we will try to make it as part of the recommendation coming for in this financial year, the first quarterly report, the recommendation that the committee makes in the first quarter regarding the status of and the classification of the sports trust. But just to explain that issue a bit further, you'll recall that the minister and the department has always been indicating that they are hands tied in as far as their mandate is concerned, particularly around facilities and provision of the equipment, including a delivery of certain programs that they have ministerial outreach programs to start with. And so if the structure of the departmental program remains as it is, because mostly all those programs are funded through DORA grant, and DORA grant has got specific requirements as to what is it that you're going to be doing and so on. So those things, are some of them are affected there. But the issue of sports trust in particular is that it has always assisted the department, because sports trust in itself has got that mandate outside what the department is doing to ensure that they deliver equipment, they provide attire to disadvantaged communities. To a larger extent, through donor funds, they are able to build one or two facilities in certain municipalities, not all. And so through that provision that and the mandate that Sports Trust has, department has always tried to assist it further to ensure that they expand that particular mandate of building facilities, allocating more resources and equipment to many communities, to allocate it funds in order to further that mandate. Safe to say that what Treasury is raising in this instance, which is a question of classification, and not per se questioning whether Sports Trust is doing what is right or not, is the question of classification. Because, of course, it will create an accounting problem where, say, an NPO is given money, or Sports Trust is given, in fact, a federation, Sports Trust is classified as a federation, when we know that federations are given money based on two conditions: compliance with the departmental requirements for, you know, the guaranteed funding, and that conditional funding they get as a result of having brought all the documentation and so on. So federations are able, there's a further explanation that is able to be accounted for. So the same perhaps is required for Sports Trust to ensure that while money is given, there's a specific purpose that it's given for. So there has to be that clarification of its classification that doesn't receive under the same conditions and for the same purpose. So it's for this committee then to say that has to be speedily resolved, and the responses or the questions that National Treasury has got answers, six answers to, has got to be responded to. Once those are clarified, then it will open up a clear and become a transparent exercise as to what is this exercise for. So, and the committee has engaged Sports Trust in that particular regard as to what Sports Trust does, and then has given it mandate to reach even further areas and work very close with the department to ensure that those things happen. So Sports Trust, while it does good, it's for the department to clarify with Treasury and classify it accordingly to the satisfaction of National Treasury. The issue of the travelling from where we're sitting, especially in the first quarterly report, where it's prominent in Program 5, of course, the suggestion, which we'll put as a recommendation, that says the traveling and monitoring or an evaluation exercise that the department undertakes in municipalities when provinces themselves are struggling with the reporting and submission of documentation, that exercise must not only look at what that Program 5 for Sports Infrastructure is for. It must also be inclusive of other issues, particularly around submission of documents around DORA grants. If that is the suggestion of members, I think that we can put as a recommendation, such that the department is able to have a holistic approach when it goes to municipalities, that it doesn't only look at verification of facilities that exist, but it also intervenes and assist the department in terms of its reporting requirements and documentation that supports that particular exercise. I think that suggestion, we will put it as it is. However, I need to perhaps indicate here that, you see, in terms of the reports that we receive on Section 32 of the PFMA, that speaks to the quarterly expenditure of the department. One thing that is not clear in that department, while the economic classification, which gives you that this money has been spent on goods and services, the other part has been spent on compensation of employees, and another one is on transfers. While it gives that classification, the actual activities in the Section 32 reports of, when you talk of goods and services, what are the actual deliverables? Whether you bought a printer, whether it's for traveling, whether it's for accommodation, flights, and so on. That particular breakdown does not come out of that particular report. You only get an holistic amount of goods and services, but not the breakdown of that. You only get that breakdown when you deal with the annual reports. That's where you find the classification of how much was spent in this particular program on traveling, how much has been spent on printing, how much has been spent on telephones, accommodation, and so forth. Only that information you only get in the annual reports. You'll not find in that. So, but the question of the breakdown is valid, is important. However, for the quarterly report, it's limited to the broader amount and not the holistic amount. Only when you get to the annual report are we able to zoom into those specifications. So it then perhaps, with the permission, then we could write further to request that particular breakdown as per the economic classification that is indicated. Because those reports are usually 3 pages. They are not exhaustive. They are just 3 pages that we receive from National Treasury on quarterly expenditure. Now, the other issue of... So I want to explain that the question of the high volume of travel, while we can do that, the difference with this particular year, you'll recall, members, that 6 million additional funding for this financial year, that the department itself was never ready and had not set up for, while not justifying, but you can anticipate that it's as a result of that particular additional funding, particularly for Program 5, to ensure that the 30 facilities that are being that are going to be funded, there is work that is being done, and that's why you may have found that there was a lot of activity in that particular program to verify the status of those particular programs. It is not clear in the report. I don't want to justify the department or speak on their behalf, but I would want to assume that relation between expenditure and increased traveling versus the work that has to be done to ensure that this proper setting could be justified by that particular exercise. However, it is correct to also say, let us get the status update of those identified reports as a follow-up to understand how far these particular programs are, so that we don't leave it at a question of saying travel was done and the facilities are identified, but to also take it further to say, what is the status of those particular facilities, so that the 10 million spent on that particular facility, we are able to spend and make a follow-up upon and not leave it there. So that is something that I think we will also infuse here as a recommendation to continually request Minister to brief of the status of those reports. However, like I said, that the main report of the BRRR will also include those suggestions to say, let us get a regular feedback on this major programs, because 300 million for Department of Sports is a huge injection. So you'll have to properly see how that money is spent. However, I must still say, the money is not sitting with the department. It's sitting with COCTA. So what they have is a say in which projects should be funded and how they should be funded, and therefore they don't have control over that particular budget. It's still sitting with COCTA, but they have a say in how that budget is being spent. So there's still the accounting officer, the accounting department is still COCTA, as opposed to SRSA in that particular regard. But it just shows that if they have capacitated themselves well and are conducting those traveling and so on, it is in line with what is expected. Because Treasury is saying, there has to be a proof that the department is able to spend this money and they have the capacity to spend this money. And COCTA is the one that is actually refusing for the transfer of the money, notwithstanding Treasury's, for lack of a better word, lack of appetite to diversify the grants. They want to put them in one pool and let municipalities run with them. Well, as for other issues that have been made regarding, you know, so the question of writing to Treasury, and I'm talking about writing to Treasury in relation to this report about that particular spending. I think technically, in as far as the report of Treasury that we have included in the report of what they are saying, is for the committee to observe and make follow-up in that regard. Of course, that will suggest also that where we require further information in this instance, we could write to request a further clarification of what is the main issue of, say, sports trust, but an additional information around municipalities that are unable to spend on MIG has also been requested. Safe to say that that particular information of MIG spending and allocation, that information is ready. Then there is a consolidated report annually that COCTA prepares to give an account of provincial spending of the MIG, district spending of the MIG, municipal spending, including per town, as to how much has been spent for what particular facility. That information is there. So what we can then do in as far as that is to share that particular report with members. It's contained in the annual report. To share that particular report with members to see in which particular town specifically has what been spent in those. So it's not information that is going to be repeated or that, but it's there, it's readily available. Of course, what we may not have is the up-to-date information because programs emerge and they go through different phases. So it's the up-to-date spending in those. But if you are to ask of the previous financial year, the report is there. The 2016-2017, I should presume in the annual report of Treasury now, that MIG spending and so on is there, is contained in that. In fact, even the Auditor General issues a report on municipal finances and spending on the MIG and so on. So those reports are readily available. We can make them available to members too. Of course, I think then what we'll have to do as the supporting team is to zoom to specific interests. If there's a specific municipality or province where we have interest into, we zoom into those, and specific areas that we are visiting, we zoom into those to indicate what is the status of spending in that particular area. But those are available. So I want to answer the question of writing to Treasury to request a more detailed information. If information is available, we can make it available. Therefore, do we still have to write that particular letter, or how do we make the reports available where we have access to them? I think Honorable Malatsi was asking about what should we do? I think it answers that question of what should we do then with regard to the reports of municipalities that are unable to spend, and how do we engage Treasury in that particular regard. I think our consistent meetings with the stakeholders, and I'm talking about questions that have been raised, particularly where we have to see how do we infuse, whether we should infuse them in this report, do we program them as they arise, yes, per interest, or do we look at them broadly when we do the BRRR report to see how, when we make recommendations of the budgets and many other things, do we consider these important aspects that actually provide a leeway and enabling environment for sport? How do we infuse that? I think that particular question of what then should we do with this reports that have been, in fact, what can the committee do in this particular exercise? Like it's indicated, on the 23rd of November, we are anticipating to have the meeting with SALGA, the FFC, National Treasury, particularly around the issue of the MIG, to indicate spending trends and perhaps if there's anything, consequent management of where there's no expenditure of the MIG and so on, we can include that particular agenda if it's an additional item. Of what should be deliberated upon. And so what we can then do in as far as the visits of SRSA are concerned, I think SRSA is better positioned to respond to the purpose of their monitoring and evaluation visits to provinces, to municipalities. But I think in many instances we have seen that when SRSA comes and, say, brief the committee upon projects that they have done, I must indicate to members that our oversight in many instances is not an oversight that we just decide to go on a specific municipality. We do so according to the information we have collated. For instance, if there's a ministerial outreach program that is out there, the department has said we are building a multi-purpose center somewhere in Venda and so on. When we go to Limpopo, we want to link to that particular facility so that there's accountability. But over and above that, what we do as support staff is the interest in MIG, which is not what the department's competency is. So we look at the facility that the department has said they have built, and we speak to the municipalities about their own programs that are linked to the MIGs. And then we know that the department itself, SRSA, has no direct responsibility over what the spending is, but it's the municipality itself that should account for the expenditure. So you'd have seen that that's how our programs are rolled, the oversight. And the interest that I'm led, that is the interest of the committee, is not only on what the department has delivered, but it's on the non-delivery on municipalities through the MIG, or deliveries of the municipalities with the MIG. And it's a clear picture that municipalities have not been able to spend that, which shows that when you exclude the role players in the sector from facilities and sports infrastructure, you're actually not going to achieve much. And that's why this discussion that municipalities and SRSA must get together to ensure that there are facilities. I'm responding to this question because the mandate of facilities in the current framework does not lie with SRSA. It lies with municipalities, it lies with COCTA. And Treasury therefore funds COCTA to do that, to build facilities. And so I think then for purposes of this particular report, because I think what if members are okay with the report and the addition, I think what we'll do is to just insert the additions for adoption. There is some of the responses I have given are not necessarily to go into the report, but it's when we consider the bigger picture and funding and our programming that these issues we should be able to delineate and separate. For this particular purpose, some of the issues around sports trust we will include, further meetings and filling of vacancies we will include. But as for writing letters to Treasury, requesting this, I think that is an exercise that we can undertake and program, for instance. But it may not necessarily come as part of the recommendation or observation in the report. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Debs. Your detailed information in some of us worries me when you're saying the money is sitting with the COCTA is refusing to transfer the money. I don't, you want, before I respond, let me give to a research somebody, I'll give you.
Thanks, Chair. Just to add and augment what the content advisor has reported to. The committee once mandated me to look at the MIG spending across the municipalities. I have undertaken that lonely journey with the SUNE. There are some saddening experiences around that. I can take 2 to 3 municipalities where I've undertaken to go individually to those municipalities. I'll take an example. I'll make an example about Lukanji Municipality and Krisani District Municipality. In their report, I don't know whether they took us seriously. In their report, you'll find out in a particular ward, let's say ward 17, they will say they've built a 7 million
a 7 million project. Again, in the second paragraph, they will say we've built a 3 million in the very same word. And then they forget that they've mentioned that word and say there's another one that is under construction, let's say it was 13. And then when I've probed for clarity in all these, that's when they begin not to cooperate. Up until I started to personally took a 10 in one of those areas in which they've identified as areas where MIG money was spent. And you'll find that there was nothing there in some of those. So I'm seeking guidance from the committee once more on how politely should I engage these municipalities. Because the information that is coming is inconsistent with what is happening on the ground. And in most cases, it is inaccurate. And some of these are confirmed by the previous SALGA reports, where there are huge and huge underspendings at the level of municipalities. But for my case, it's still a work in progress. I'm going to probably, before SALGA arrives, I'll be having a well-written report and submit it to the committee. But I'm experiencing difficulties to reconcile the information that I'm getting and to what is happening on the ground. And the mayors are reluctant. Others are arrogant to tell you as far as to say, look, we're using water for this money. We're using far unrelated issues to spot for this money. And yet this money is gazetted. There's a 15% that is gazetted on sport and recreation facilities for this money. So some I think the committee need to advise on how better to approach this. Thank you very much.
You know, on what Umphums is saying, you can be a victim of those municipalities. You need to write just a report and present in the committee. Because if you are going there as individual, you can be victimized by themselves and also by the institution. Because we are trembling in their holy land. That's why we have said, do a research, and that research must come to the committee, in order that the committee, it must take decisions. I do understand Udebza's input that with the agenda of today, we cannot in a way thinking that it's a mandate of our department who are partly involved. That meeting of Wednesday maybe will make us not off Wednesday 2030, making us not to write any letters, wait for this meeting. Because I'm suspecting it's an outstanding meeting that we wanted. Because we've said we've put our views as committee. We need that they must come back and talk to us. And it's worth really, we need this meeting with them, especially when Utebo is saying that even that 300 million is not with us, it's with COPTA. So the one who can't monitor, who can't have a say on the milk with the municipalities to SALGA. So in reality is that we are clarifying to us the role of each department as far as IMIC and the role of ICOPTA and the role of ITREASURE. So sometimes when things happened, we need that sometimes we must be cautioned whose responsibilities are these, whilst partly is affecting each department. But I'm happy that this meeting is scheduled. I'm suspecting they are honoring our decision that we have said they must come back and talk to us. Is then we'll be even engaging them of asking whether if they transfer this money to the department, as the money Utebo was saying that is still with the copter. Let me take other hands that I've seen on Abumuteka, but so far that's my input. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also let us. I have to thank Debo and Booms. Okay, I think we consider the advices from the content advisor, but at the same time, remember the letter. The letter is not only to find who what was spent where and all that. It's also to push the treasury to punish those who are not using the money correctly. So it is addressing two things: where money went, and then where it didn't go the right way, what is happening. And the other issue is that one of that the breakdowns of the expenditure can only be found in the annual report. I think by demand you can say for program 5 we want to know in this quarter, the one we are talking about, what happened, because we have a specific interest. We cannot wait for a year to end and all that. We can ask for that specifically, because it's the money that has been spent already, and they know the full record of what is happening. We can't wait for a year to end. And we know all these things are on the annual reports, but we are dealing with the issues now, and we want the information. Yeah, I think those are the main issues I was thinking about.
On the other hand, honorable members, I'm suspecting that honorable Muteka, it's a valid question, but I'm proposing that we must wait for this meeting before we must write letters, because Utebo advised us and we must be taking the advice accordingly, because in the letter we're not going to engage anyone. I wanted initially if we can write a letter, but if we do have a slot with them, there's no need of letter. We want them to tell us any questions, because sometimes letters are tricky. They will answer just two sentences thinking that they finish. So the best way of doing with these different somebody is saying from horse's mouth, manana. No, I'm pleading, honorable members, let's wait for that day, because they will be all with us, and any other thing that want to raise with them, let's raise with them. There was a circulation of, what is that? Circulation, abasona wangaba bayithu. There is a circulation of devil. Can you listen to me? Hey, Ausemanda, but when you are that circulation, was it for only the chairpersons or for all the members of the committee of the way of writing and reporting on our writing? It has been circulated to all of us. Yes, so we need sometimes being activists when we want things to happen. we're becoming emotional. That's why we do have content advisors. I'm suspecting that even when we are discussing our report of oversight, they've guided us, the house chairperson, how to write it. So, Honorable Modeka was like my good self, that when it comes to this thing of IMIC, it make me to be mad, because I've suffered was bought before unbanning, and I don't want anyone to suffer, especially with the facilities. And I'm happy that we're all agreed about this thing of Sports Trust, because it's they are closing a gap. But with this this struggle of IMIC, I'm suspecting that honorable members are still going to go a long way, because when Utombo is responding like this to me, I wanted that I must just keep quiet until this time of these entities are coming, or I mean departments, when we are saying even about this 300 million is not with us, it's still with COPTA, the same COPTA that can't make their municipalities to account. Salga is one other story. So I'm saying that thanks that we are with us, but come this day, we'll be asking and wanting to check why they don't want to reinforce this MIC. If department is happy, cause not that we're giving 300 million, but if it's not controlled by us, whose money is that? By those words, I'm saying with our report, who have dealt with it, except this thing of UMIC is always taking us in a struggle way, not in a procedural way, because we're here as politicians to fight for our communities. I'm putting the report in front of you, honorable members, that Debo, do we adopt this report as members, as amended, or do we give you time to go and effect the discussion of the members, and then we'll adopt when we have put everything that we have asked? I'm suspecting that's the way that I must say that the content advisor, he must go, assisted by the secretary, to effect everything that we have raised in this report, in order that when it's ready, we must adopt. Maybe if tomorrow they will come with it and then we'll adopt it. I thank you, honorable members. It was a fruitful discussion, except now I'm coming. Honorable Modeka, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is not about the report. It's about the meeting of the 23rd November, Chair. I need us to be armed and be well equipped before that meeting. Because they said, he said, the information they've got, information of what is happening. Please, I think it's through you, Chair. Let us have few municipalities by the West. Let them go to the West municipalities where MIC was misused or whatever. And then we have examples when we meet these people. Unlike we just debate and then we say, oh, Lukács, oh, Makutama, oh, you see, let us have this municipalities breakdowns and all information. Then when in that meeting, then we'll know what to deal with. Thank you.
I'm suspecting that Utebo, when you were saying the reports are ready, they must circulate them. I'm supporting what you are saying, Honorable Manan.
Including the researcher on what he has already done, he must just put it forward so that we can just
Okay. Thanks, honorable members. Honorable members, the second item on the agenda is a deliberation on draft Free State Provincial Oversight Report, which both officials they've called me saying that Utebo is not yet done editing, and Sune in this morning when she was distributing was saying that this is a draft, they are not yet together edit it. Let me check with you, honorable members, what do you want us to do with this report? Because Utebo did call me last night, Sune also, but I've said she must come with it in order that we must see that they've done work. So I want the guidance. Honorable the Whip, Honorable Manana, Honorable Mutek, Honorable Malats, I'm sorry.
No, Chair, I went through, I mean, the information is all there. They must just finalize it and submit it to us because it's not written the way we are used to. So if we can give them a chance to finalize it. But in terms of the information that they've put, I mean, the information is there, so I don't think it will take time for them to can close those gaps.
Okay. Honorable Manan.
Chairperson, nothing much I can say. What I can say is just that because it's not for consideration. What I can say is to say job well done. We are just waiting for the finalization of the report to be considered. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Malak.
Chair, they've covered what I was going to say.
Thank you. Honorable members, let's give them, I don't know, they will be having sleepless nights, these people. They've been trying their best. I don't know whether one other day we can miss one of them. How are we going to survive? They are doing good work while she are still alive, let's tell you. Can we go to point three, consideration of committee minutes? We have been postponing because of time. Are not yet with us. Let's wait for Umetsi to distribute the minutes. I think. Honorable members, Let's go to the minutes of the 11th October. It's written 11 October.
The sentence for all of
them. Huh?
We have four photos. Sentence 14.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let's start with the 13th September. Briefing by Boxing South Africa. Let's go to page 1. Page 2. We did read this. Page 3. I'm suspecting we did read these minutes. It's just where we didn't have time to deal with them. And go to page 4. You must just remind yourself if you have seen something which is not right. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Page 9. Honorable Mutek.
On page 9, Chair, I'm PG, not PB. PG Mutek. Yeah, not B.
Okay. Thank you, honorable members. Any matters arising? Page 1. Page 2. Three. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8 and page 9. Can anyone adopt the minutes with the correction of page 9, Honorable PG Mudeka instead of PB Mudeka? Honorable Manan?
Thanks, Chair. I took the minutes with the corrections of Mr. Mutseka initial.
Thank you so much, Honorable Emanana. Any seconder? Honorable Mutseka?
I second.
Let's go to the minutes of 14th. Page 1, 2,
3. PG, page 4, PG, correction, page 5, PG, page 6. Sorry, Chair, it's page 5. That's just the correction of the surname of Honorable Bergman. And the PB. Just to be corrected as well. Instead of PB, it must be PG.
Thank you, Honorable. Any proposal of adoption? That Belcom?
No, I'm worried about the recommendation. Is that that we did this in some time?
That the committee conduct public hearings on transformation. No, I see it there, and page 5. It's on page 5, and it's also repeated on page 6. My worry is that there might have been discussions on a specific just input by members, but I don't remember concretely saying there should be public hearings on transformation.
Honorable Bergman, Honorable Malazzi.
Thanks, Chair. My recollection of the meeting was that it went, I made the proposal, there was a discussion around it. I then reintroduced the proposal, and with the concerns of the whip at the time, requested that we still, you know, because the one concern was that we might be preempting what the minister's doing, or we might be second guessing the minister. And I was saying that we would go around and listen to we'd go around more and listen, and that was definitely approved then, the way I understood it from our side.
Thank you, Honorable Bergman. Honorable
Malazzi.
Yeah, Chair, I think I'm going to withdraw what I wanted to say, because I wasn't sure whether the Honorable Alhoma is referring to page 4 and 5 or both of them, so I'll just leave it as is.
Because I see it's even highlighted on both pages.
I'm saying in page 4, it's saying that the committee discussed public hearings on the matter, as well as a national road show to get input from friends, associations and sport council to find what the other issues on ground were. It say it discussed, and then let me go to page 5. Recommendation was brought whilst the committee identified particular gaps. If we can listen to that, and the recommendation regarding slow progress with training of coaches had to be accompanied by a recommendation that training be expedited, and that there was a need to include unions and federation because it covered all federation rather than rugby. And even Sunil Debs, I don't know what this is about. So it's, yes, you're supposed to delete that, asking really, if we're saying a recommendation, but it was discussed, Honorable Verhom, and then content advice.
No, because during that discussion, the principle, because that is our function as a committee, that we can do public hearings on any matter. But the specifically on transformation, while we've got the EPG, which is dealing with that matter, I don't think I agreed with that, because I agreed just in principle, in terms of us as the sport committee, that we can do a public hearing on any matter. But the difficulty with me is that the transformation, we've got a commission that is dealing with that specifically. And that is why I don't think we ended up making a recommendation. Honorable Bergman is right, because he made that thing, and I came in that no, that is our function. But I'm worried if we concretize it, that now it's a recommendation, because very soon it means we'll be saying no, as the committee, we have adopted a resolution that we are doing public hearings on this matter. I thought with regard to transformation matters, there is a commission, and that commission is dealing with transformation issues, which are a challenge. Even now, there are about four bodies that the minister has taken a particular action against. So I don't want to find myself in a situation whereby it is as if we are not sure. But if you can ask me whether we don't want to do a particular hearing on any matter, we'll do it.
Honourable members, I contributed on that day, I do remember. I even said, if we want to do public hearings while there is a commission, if we call people to parliament, only those who can afford to come here. Not everybody we can reach, because the aim of Honorable Bergman, in principle, wanted that people, they must say something. But I even said, my experience, those who can come to Cape Town, it's only those who have money to fly and come here. And they are only those who are already presented in the commission. So I still remember that it was my contribution, saying that whom do we want to do public hearings with, especially that there is a commission, that the only thing that I've even said that we must look and monitor whether the recommendation of the commission are looked at, and then we must do oversight on that. So I still remember that. I've seen your hand.
Thanks, Chair. Indeed, at the time when this resolution was adopted unanimously by members, it was in the spirit that you are explaining it with, that one, the EPG is currently doing the work, and there's a scientific report, not only based on opinions, there's a scientific report that is being taken. But secondly, that the work of the committee, when it works, engages any federation at any time, it always conducts oversight, call it public hearing, specifically to zoom into the content of or the issue of transformation, to check how far they have come, but also to compare that with the work that the EPG does in that respect. So, I want to believe that when we captured it here, as it is, as it appears, it also was to say this work is continuous. It's happening almost every time when the committee engages federations. So there is no objection around it, if I'm to put it that way. However, what is not, if that was the understanding at the time, that there be a specific commission, sort of like where you go out in a form of public hearings, in a form of consultations with the public, where the committee, the same way you will do when you do public hearings on a particular bill. I don't think, that is my understanding, I don't think that's the spirit in which we captured this thing. Perhaps the honourable member will explain, so that then those distinctions be made between the work of the committee on regular basis with federations on questions of transformation, governance, and sport development, that juxtaposing it with the work that EPG does, which is the work that I think we captured the spirit, this issue with, or is it something of the nature of public hearings with a bill? And then we'll have to determine the chair as to what the possibilities. Thanks.
Chair, thanks for this. I'm slightly concerned, I must say, that the conversation took place over a month ago. Whilst it's fresh in my memory, we're relying on a piece of paper where even two officials are not agreeing with each other on what's written on the piece of paper. Now, in my humble opinion, the recommendation as it's put, the reason why I know it was agreed to, or I believe it was agreed to, is I walked out of that meeting feeling well. You know, we actually moving somewhere. And there were two keywords, two buzzwords that kept on floating around, and we changed it because of sensitivity. The one was a public hearing, and the other one was a roadshow. And what we're trying to get at was that here you've got sports going along the advice of an EPG, and you've got sports going along on the advice of the EPG to the minister and the unions. And that this might, you know, in our opinion, having gone to the Free States or having gone to wherever we've been on oversight, the issue of transformation comes up, but it comes up almost at a level that we're looking in the wrong place for transformation. So what I suggested a month ago, and it seems to have been forgotten somewhere or somehow, was that we either invite participation, and bearing in mind with what the chair said in terms of cost and affordability, that it would either be a case of people making written submissions from all over to us in a form of understanding, or that instead of going and doing a week-long oversight visit in areas where we uncover pretty much everything on the first day, or you know, we end up doing a lot of talking and not seeing a lot of seeing, that maybe we target our oversight to be more of an understanding of transformation, of what communities perceive the transformation to be, and in terms of what they would say is working, what's not, what we should be doing, what we shouldn't. And that was, in my opinion, was a compromise to us either contradicting the minister, which we had, that has no contradiction on the minister, or, as the whip had said, acting in contravention of what the EPG, or maybe preempting what the EPG comes out with. The timing you'd appreciate was that the EPG's already released their second report. So we're at a stage where we're learning of what the EPG's already done. So this is using their foundation to further understand as a committee, and to then ensure that our legacy this committee's legacy of leaving the transformation, of delivering transformation, is captured in a way that reflects what the people want and not necessarily what we believe they want. It's actually hearing them, not telling them.
Well, I'm not sure how we are going to ensure that we don't lose it. The point that we are making, so that we, as the committee, we don't end up being on a collision with a commission which is doing this work scientifically. So that we should try to see how do we balance that, to ensure that we are clear that we are not starting our own thing there. So if we can find a way to can ensure that the recommendation of public hearings, given the concern of the chair as well, that we understand it, and also that we are not is being done within the context of what is there, you know, the commission that is doing this thing scientifically. So that we cover the point that you wanted to make, because I remember I made that point and the chair did make that. So it's more a question of how do we ensure that we write it such that it doesn't contradict that. I'm not sure whether the content advisor can assist us to do that, such that we don't lose the key points that we were making last time.
Honorable members, your hand is up. I wanted to.
Honorable
Mala.
Thanks, Chair. My understanding and following of this discussion is that there is general consensus of what needs to be done, but I think there is consensus over how it's framed, and I think Teboho can use his very diplomatic skills to frame that in a way that covers the essence of what is true, because I think it was more about us engaging further of what is happening in individual federations rather than meddling with the exact work of the EPG, so that it's not a once-off thing, so that it's an ongoing, more of an engagement rather than, you know, public hearings, which often happen in halls and you pack people in and all of that.
No, I'm suspecting that you, Debo, can do that, because when we are going for our own oversight, which is coming November, that's what that they must include, as they've been doing we make. It's different for a public hearing and doing oversight. It's a good view, but I'm saying that the way that we must do is to do oversight. You can call it public hearing, because the commissioner has put this in department and then took it to the committee. And now a committee, if you want to get itself the views and ideas of the people on the ground, the only way that we can do is to that table they must craft, in order that whenever we are going to do oversight, we must have something like that they must come and present, in order that maybe let's wanted to understand whether they do understand this EPG. So I'm supporting that if we're doing in the way of the oversight, not in the way of public hearings, because the public hearings is one other thing that you need to include everybody, not those who have it and are against those not have it. So the only way that we are doing is that, and I wish to check with the Umusi, if I was here, Mpumzi, Sunem, when it comes to legislation, where the public hearings are do needed, how do you do as this committee? Because mna since I've been in this parliament, I don't want to mention years, I've seen public hearings that are done by the portfolio committees. They do call those people who can fly. And then ENCOP also, which I served 10 years in the ENCOP, when they're going down there, they will be coming maybe in the legislature, not going to the district municipalities. And they call that,
it's
it's better people to taking people to the parliament. We used to have don't assemble as the AENA, one of people's assemble. That's the best of it, like taking parliament to the people. But I don't know where it vanished, the people's assemble. Because when we are doing public hearings, we want those people who must know about the legislation, who must know about this EPGC, the rural poor, that we must take those things right to the ground, not calling them here. But I'm saying that this is a good idea, that in future I must check when there is a legislation. EPG is some of the very, very important commissioner that presented to us. But I'm suspecting it's in the process. But as I'm speaking, Uminis is taking very strict measures. But as this committee, we have a right when we are going to our oversight in each area, wanted that people must come to Umaspal, who's nearer to the people. So I'm saying you can put it in your way, as Honorable Malatsi is saying, but I can tell you, as I'm sitting here, I've been not happy about the public hearings that are conducted in this parliament, even in the NCOP. In the NCOP, it's better when it's taking parliament to the people, like now that they are going down to Alfrenzo. They've started to go all over. If they're still doing that, there must be a task team that is going to communities to make them aware, to have transport of the entire budget of the institution. But with our budget, as little as this committee, even if we want to do that, a public hearing is something like that, taking parliament to the people or the assembly. So I'm saying these are good views, and giving a chance that we can do that, not to parliament. And e-submission, Honorable Bonkman, sometimes they are right, sometimes I always have submission to those elite people that will be writing and not getting to the membership. Would love to see one other time when things are right and good, that when we're doing our own oversight to check whether can we have a budget of ferrying people to the nearest hall, nearest ground. But as we're speaking, I don't see it, except that we can do the little that we can do when we are doing our oversight and trying to check the views of the people. I'm suspecting that we're giving to you will come and brief us, or you want to say now, or you're taking the mandate. Okay. Okay.
No, I think, Chair, I think it's clear that, just like, you know, when you go to oversight with the recommendations of members, you recall in Limpopo and Mpumalanga, we never met any structures of sports. We didn't meet boxing, we didn't meet federations. But as and when we went to Eastern Cape, we started meeting boxing and federations. So I think what it speaks to is that in our agenda of the meeting with the federations, not only do we have to ask for information, or do we have to engage them on the basis of sports development programs, but we must also get to engage in the question of transformation in sport. such that our report, when it comes to that, members are briefed about specific provincial issues related to not only development, but transformation and the achievements and challenges that the province has. I must also indicate that usually before we go to provinces and oversight, we give a brief to paint a picture of the specific issues related to that particular province, including based on the reports we have received from EPG, SAGA, department, and any interesting any information that is relevant, we do provide in that particular brief, though not exhaustively, but we do try to give members a picture of what is the situation, and therefore during engagements, members can better engage with that particular information. However, we do accept and take the suggestion that in our engagements with provinces, let us also, when we engage federations, including the provincial departments, to include this agenda of transformation to see how, one, on the side of department, how are they monitoring that, and on the side of the federations, what is the implementation, what is the status, what are the programs in place. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members.
Yeah. And then in terms of the recommendation, through the Chair, how are you going to assist us so that we can be sure that we've got the point that Honourable Bergman was making, but is balanced?
Can we give them, in order that tomorrow, when we're doing business, we must adopt minutes accordingly? Because as Honourable Bergman is saying, they even written, what do you say, what is these steps? So, which means the steps that they didn't do editing. No,
thank you, Chair. Yes, I think they must just clean up, they must remove the highlights, because in history a highlight will mean something else. Thank you.
Honourable Members, by that exhausted discussion and progressive one, let's pass through. Sometimes it's correct that when we've got a misunderstanding among ourselves, we must be engaged and come to consensus. That's a good thing that we must do. Let's go to 11th October. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. Any matters arising? I do. Honourable Members.
Thanks, Chair. On matters arising, I think on the issue of the letter with the Eastern Cape promoters, I mean, I'm not so sure, but I remember there was also a reference to whether we invite the Metro or is it the Buffalo City Municipality. I speak under correction, but I remember we had had a discussion about who are the other relevant parties that might be necessary for that engagement, so that we cover all the issues that were raised, particularly with the issue of, you know, who contributes funding for what and how that gets managed. Thanks.
Yes, I'm also, we've said now there is a new structure, and that letter we're asking that they must ask whether this sample who wrote that or email or whatever, is he part of the new launch structure? Where even in a way the Boxing South Africa, they've known that, seemingly, that they know that person. And then you have said they must write a letter, but you must remember that you even said that maybe by the time that you are calling them, we have asked Boxing South Africa and the department that they must handle that, but finally we'll need to have a last bite to get a report, how do they handle. But if they didn't go there, because we're saying our own program is very tight, maybe they can be the best people, because we did give them both the Boxing South Africa and the department, we did give them that letter. Boxing South Africa, they were saying that very soon they will go in there, but it doesn't mean that we must not write this letter. But as I'm sitting here, that reflection is not here that you have said. Boxing South Africa, department, this is an issue that you did go there and you launch a structure, and then there comes now the structure writing to us as committee. So I'm saying correctly so, Honorable Malaz, we must be aware what you want to achieve, but we must have a true reflection of the discussion, because I even said, fortunately, Boxing South Africa and your department, you are here, this correspondence arrived while we are here. You must do your own, your own mission. So I wanted to say that I don't know how did they respond. I've seen the response of the office. Can you tell how did you respond, let alone the what you have written here? I've seen your response. You did respond to this letter from Eastern Cape of Boxers. Yes, I've seen the response in my email. I was thinking that it was accordingly, but in reality is that here in the minutes, Honorable Malaza is raising what I wanted to raise. How did they end if the minutes are written like this? She's still looking for it. But I'm suspecting that let's leave as it is, because Tina, even if the department or Boxing South Africa, they do call them, will be inviting them to come in the committee. So let's leave it as it is.
No, Chair, that's correct. That is how we resolved that, no, whether they interact with them, but we must satisfy ourselves, so we'll call them. So the way the recommendation is, it's okay.
Thank you, Honorable Members. I'm presenting our minutes to the committee. Honorable Ralhom.
No, Chair, I move for the adoption.
Thank you, Honorable Ralhom. Honorable Malaz.
For adoption. Second, the adoption by
Honorable Members, minutes of the 12th October, page 1, minutes of Saskok, page 1. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 4. Page 5. Any matters arising? Honorable Malatse.
Thanks, Jen. Perhaps maybe I need your clarity on this. I mean, there was an instance with the president and some very unfortunate comments that he made, which were then called to order and we proceeded. And it's not reflected in the minutes. So I just want to check, I mean, do the minutes just represent what gets presented and then what gets replied, and then the other issues that are related to that don't form part of that?
Indeed, Mr. Malazzi, you are correct. Just a reflection of the discussions.
Okay, let's give them to go and add the gaps. Honorable Malazzi is asking, Sune, when the president of SASCOC was asked questions, he responded by saying that he wishes that he's not the one who's the horse. And when... I'm starting from there. I don't know how to write that, because I've called him in order about that. I even said it's one of idioms when I get what he's a figure of speech. And then I call him to an order. And then the second thing, I'm suspecting he was in a way responding to Honorable Muteka, but not correctly. He was saying that, okay, we'll write letters to you every now and then. I've corrected him also, saying that I don't want that the Honorable members must do a follow-up. The way that you are responding to questions, you must respond like a president of this SASCOC, not offending members, because even I was saying that you are here to learn also to you guys who have an hands-on on SASCOC issues. When members are asking questions, how do you say that you'll be writing letters every week? He was just sarcastic or ridiculing the members. And I even suggested that he must, the only way that the committee is working, it's when they want information, it's going to be emailed, not writing letters to members. But I don't know how to put because it really was a rhetoric. It was a very clumsy way of himself responding. But I don't know, according to minutes, how are you supposed to write that thing? I'm seeing Usune is not happy. Some of us will not have rules of how to you write minutes. We also want them to be true reflection, but we need to be guided whether when we are out of order as members and when our guests are out of order, we don't write that. Maybe it's a standard of writing minutes. Honorable Manan.
I think it's something that is, it seems as if it's new to our honorable officials. They've never done this before, because it seems as if while the president was fuming, they've just omitted everything, of which means the channel 408. I did not see that, but I've heard everyone was asking and say, what were you saying? What were you doing with the SASCOG? But I did not see that. And now you have just omitted everything about the athletes sold their Samsung S7 to fix their tracksuits and the OPEX, since that's why the president started to fume that the OPEX did not, I didn't want to hear from the media, but I wanted to hear from the horse's mouth that the OPEX did not pay the athletes since February. So we wanted to hear from him. It's where he started to say he was patronizing us. That's what I've said. Because he started to fume and say he will write letters. It's where the chairperson intervened and say, we are not dealing with letters here, we are dealing with reports. So I think they must go back to Hudson, chairperson, or they must. I know Sune always records with her cell phone. She must go back to her cell phone so that she can.
Honorable members, don't do this to Sune. You see now?
maybe to assist that if they can just insert a sentence that show the chair just calling the president to order. So that at least we shall have covered that, rather than want to go into detail to just show that the chair did reprimand the president of SASCOG.
Thank you, Honorable Malatsi, Honorable Muteke, and then Debs.
Chair, the exact word I wanted to use earlier was reprimand. Honorable Ralhoma is right. The minutes just need to reflect that the president was reprimanded for his patronizing statement towards a member of the committee, and we moved on.
Honorable.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think after you left, I personally cautioned him about his way of being emotional in the meeting. And I also said, please try to control the temperature when you engage with us, because it is not helping us. So it is very important, because this if the minutes are not putting those important things there, but out there you read them on News 24 and all that, we have nothing to hide. Thanks.
Thank you, Deb, sir. It's in order, because I've read it in the News 24 that they've picked those. So in a way, not to, as Honorable Ralhoma and the rest, that just a reflection, because I was even asking, how do you write everything that was done by that president who was just fuming maybe it cannot be easy because he was just quarreling and we didn't want somebody to quarrel with us. We wanted an information because when they are coming here, we do get some information and learning whilst born, they are doing these things every day. But it's unfortunately it's always fuming. We will adopt these minutes tomorrow when you corrected them. Sometimes there's somebody who is like sister to the very somebody who we're talking about. Honorable members, Honorable Ahmed, we had a good meeting of SASCOC. There was nothing wrong. We did get medals and everything. With those last comments, we're hoping that tomorrow we'll be finalizing all the minutes. The meeting is adjourned. Is there any lunch?
No, check. Tomorrow's meeting is at M201 Max Building.
M201
Max, second floor.
Thank you.